Welcome to the Mind to Muscle podcast, where we focus on exercising our minds and our muscles. I'm your host and sweaty mama, Jennifer Loganville, and my goal is to empower you to live each and every day stronger than yesterday. Being the strongest in the room isn't only about your physical fitness, but your confidence and mindset. Here, I'm your biggest cheerleader as we learn how important it is to put your mind to muscle even before picking up the weight. Otherwise, what are you doing? Grab your water and get set up. We're starting in 3, 2, 1, let's go. Welcome back. Today, you get to hear from our awesome, empowering, inspiring sweaty sister, Laura Noble. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
So today, we get to know Laura on a more personal level. Tell us about your journey with JGFG.
Okay, so I joined JGFG in the summer of 2022, and I don't even know what really drew me to it. I was seeing a lot of my Facebook friends share it, and I was really impressed with some of the muscle gains that people had, and that's something, like, I've always been active and I've always worked out, but I've never seen muscle gain or never felt like I had shown any progress. And so that's what I was interested in. And that's what made me sign up. And it wasn't long that, you know, when you start seeing those gains and realizing what you've been doing wrong the whole time, I was sold.
I love it. I love that. What was your first day? Do you remember what your first workout was with me?
I think what was Mondays at that time?
Chest day.
It would have been chest day. I was starting on a Monday.
What's your favorite workout day now?
I really like arms and I really like legs.
We just recorded an arm day, so.
Yeah, it was good.
Why do you like them?
I like arms that you get to, like, see the progress and see your flex. And I feel like there's an empowering moment with, you know, having a nice bicep flex.
Amen, girl.
Legs is so foundational and I really like working on legs. I like to run. And so the leg part has been quite a foundation for and helping me with my running.
Do you feel like your running prior to JGFG and now is completely different because of the leg muscles you've gained?
Definitely. Endurance has changed a lot. It's game changing on how much, like, building your quads and building leg strength helps with your running endurance.
Do you feel like it has decreased your knee pain? A lot of runners always talk about, you know, long-term effects of knee pain in. There's always science showing, like, the stronger quads, hamstring, the supporting muscles around your knees with runners. You build those, you strengthen those, you're going to have less knee pain.
Mine was more of a hip pain. I think I was, like, constantly in a state of, like, bursitis.
Oh,
and
no.
That has went away as well. And it's amazing to me that how much I've learned through that. And I think a lot of it was even nutritional because I didn't realize until I calculated out macros that I was way under eating, especially carbs. It wasn't that I was trying to under eat. I
remember your journey when I figured your macros first. You were like, are you sure about all those carbs? And I'm like, just trust the process, especially with your running. If you want to see muscle gains, you have to eat the carbs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you have to fuel your body. And I think I was just spinning my wheels forever and ever.
Yeah. And I'll say right now, we're in a season of these people, these members who are like, they won't follow their carb goals that I'm giving them. And it's not because they don't want to, it's in their head. They cannot get out of their own way of, well, I don't mind hitting my protein goal. That's easy for me. But it's their carb goal. They're like, no, I'm not. I'm supposed to do low carb. I'm supposed to eat low carb. And I'm like, but you're walking 3 to 4 miles / jogging 3 miles a day and doing my workouts at heavier weight. Of course, you're not going to see results if you're not eating your carbs because you're using your muscle for energy rather than the carbs that you're eating for energy. So you're never going to get off the hamster wheel of trashing your metabolism and in this vicious cycle of skinny fat, never gaining muscle, never losing the body fat because you won't eat carbs and fuel your body properly. And so your journey's been really cool because you were my first marathon runner on macros lifting with me. And tell us about that. Your marathon was November of 2023. Mm-hmm. One, my question is, what made you want to do it? Was it like a lifelong thing you want to do? And how was the training pre and post of that?
Okay, so I signed up for the marathon during the summer challenge. And I don't know what it was about the summer challenge, but that challenge made me feel like I could do anything.
So many people have told me that, which I love hearing that feedback.
Yeah, like there was so much growth, and it wasn't just physical growth. It was a lot of mental growth too. And I've always wanted to run a marathon. I kind of got it more into long distance running probably in 2017. And I ran my first half marathon in 2018. And I think if you're a runner, you understand, like, once you kind of test your endurance, there's just something about that. And you just want to see how far you can go. And I've always wanted to do that. But when you run a half marathon and you think, gosh, I'd have to do that entire route again, it's a mind game. Like,
yeah. No,
it's really hard to wrap your mind around that because you feel like you've given your all in that first half. And so I was never brave enough to do it. And I don't know what changed, but I was like, you know what? It's now or never. This is on my bucket list. I want to do this. And that's what I did. I signed up and I put it in the group, not because I was trying to brag or do anything like that. I just wanted to be held accountable because that's basically the group is the best accountability there is. And I just wanted to put it out there because if people knew I had signed up, I wasn't going to be able to back out.
Yeah, I love that. So
I guess that didn't answer your question.
No.
About the macros. Like,
yes. We struggled for a little bit of like me being like, Laura, I need you to eat more.
Yeah. Well, I think we were under for a while.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you're putting in 16 miles, your carb intake has to be huge.
You helped me grow through that, too, because I did a lot of research surrounding it to further my macro education with runners.
Well, I appreciated that so much because I do think that made all the difference. It didn't make it any easier for me when I get home after work and be 100 grams of carbs down. And it would be sometimes it was really hard to meet because I was eating a lot.
Yeah. And you have a busy job. So it's not like you can sit and just eat all day.
Mm-hmm.
But I think once you got in the swing of these higher carbs, you're like, oh, yeah, because you felt good during your workout with me and your run. So you're like, OK, it makes sense, but doesn't make it easier to hit them.
Well, it was almost like I would be at work and I'd go to the cafeteria and the person, the Patsy that would check me out, she'd say, oh, are you running? And because I would tell her, like, this is why I'm getting two lunches, essentially. Like, here I'm getting a full lunch plus the chicken breast sandwich. And she's like, oh, you're really hungry today. And I'd explain, well, here's the deal. Jen's got me on high macros.
I love that so much. That's great. So tell me, every spring I get this itch to become a runner. How did you start? And was it always easy for you? Is it something you've always enjoyed? Did you hate it for a long time and then you just learned to love it? You coach me through this.
Okay. I really think, like I said, 2017 has to be the year I really got into it. I had my daughter in the end of 2016, and I had a lot of like postpartum anxiety. Like I felt such a pent up feeling. And I don't know, I just started like going running down the road and back, and it felt so good to me. And so that's kind of when I got into it. And then the half marathon almost happened a little bit.
Jumped the gun a little.
Yeah. At my work, they were the one that sponsored the race and they had some free entries the week of. And I said, I'm going to do this. And I had not trained. I had not ran more than 5 miles.
That's totally
at a time.
An impulsive me move. Like, yeah, I can
do
that.
It was pretty dumb. And of course, after I did it or after I signed up, I started reading about, can you do this without training? And it was like a lot of warnings. And so I listened to my body and I walked like the hills and I did it as best as I could. I was very proud of my progress, but it was like from there I was sold. I love that endurance part. And for me, it's not about the exercise or really at all.
Like, that's what all my runners say. They're like, I don't care about the exercise of it. It's a mental release.
Yes, it's like
I'm trying to figure that out because I feel like I could benefit from it. I just am trying.
Well, I think you and Darcy had talked about how you know, like you have to get to a certain mileage. Like mile 1.5 or 2 or 2.5 that you actually get into that groove and it actually feels good. All runners will say that first mile sucks. And
a lot
it's
of
like
my
once
runners
you get past that
2+ miles, some of them say 3 is when the runner's high kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I would say on my side though, like weightlifting past 25 minutes, I've made the 2024 workouts longer. Past 25 for me is like that high for me of like, mm-hmm. let's keep going. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Like we're already here. You've already done the foundational part. Like let's just go up from here. And that's whenever, I would say actually 18 minutes. 18 minutes and I'm like, pump, let's go. Because now you're warm, you're hot, you're pumped, you're all the things. And I feel like it's probably the same.
It releases endorphins. Yes. You just feel good. And that's what running is to me. It's a release. I love the quiet time. I don't even really listen to music most runs. The long distance races I will, but when I get up in the morning and I'm running in the dark with my lamp on.
I love that you do that, honestly. I expect that picture every time. Like, where's Laura?
It really is freeing. It makes me feel like a different person. And I don't think you can understand that unless you experience it. Like, it sounds like I'm...
Too bad you don't live closer and you could come and pick me up on a run. Go. Okay, I love it. So I've been trying every year I started. And I think it's as it gets warmer for me. Kudos to you. Like, that's the level you're at and the discipline you have to be able to wake up on a 20-degree morning and still go for the run. Tell me, like, that's hard to, one, probably get out. Just, like, push and play at 4 in the morning. Like, it's hard when you start, but at what point do you know how to dress versus, like, when are you getting hot? Like, what's that look like? Now you've mastered it. So I would be running out there with leggings, sweats, and a big coat and a hat, and you're, like, in just an athletic shirt. Like a dry fit, long sleeves.
I think when you start, you tend to overdress. And so the more you get into it, I think people really learn what you can get by with. And you, with the right set, like the right pair of leggings, you can go in almost any weather.
Yeah.
You just have to dress right. But layers are always good because you can take layers off.
My legs itch so bad.
Yeah. Oh
my gosh, I can't even get over that part. It's the blood flow.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like, I just want to attack them. It's so, I'm like, all right, I'm done. This is why I don't run.
Usually the first thing I lose is my gloves because my hands start to get hot.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
My goal is by May to easily run 3 miles, no big deal.
You can do it.
I know I can.
You've been doing the interval training.
So. I know. I have. I'm working on it. I'm trying to be better. And I'm trying to do more of the things that I don't love because I preach it every day. And I do this myself. Like, do the things that make you uncomfortable, that you hate, because then anything you encounter that's hard, it becomes easier. Mm-hmm. And so then you're like, okay, I hate running. Like, I truly do. But I am trying to be open-minded to do it to make myself grow. And I think that's my word, my goal for the year is to grow. And I think that's one that I have to take on, whether I like it or not. And I think one time, next time you come up here, we're going to be like, let's go for a run. Our strides are going to be wildly different, but it's going to be.
I can match you. It'll be fine.
I was doing this interval training and I recorded myself and I was going at speed 10, which is really fast for my little 5'1 legs. And literally, I told you, I felt like I was flying. I looked back at the video and I posted on my Instagram. And people were like, oh, I love that you're jogging. I'm like, no, I was sprinting, but my legs look like they're barely moving. So,
well, that's when I tell people, don't get caught up in the pace. You're not comparing yourself to others. Anyways.
Correct.
You just get into your groove. I had people say, I think you're really fast. And I'm not trying to be fast at all. Yeah. That's my groove. And everybody's different on that. And definitely don't compare yourself to other people and don't get fixated on that because that's when you can stay in your lane, right?
Isn't it so funny how like I can preach it on the weightlifting side. I can preach it in the macros and the food side. But when it comes to running, I feel like I'm not well versed in the running side. So I want to be educated and I want to know more and I want to love it. And so I'm forcing myself this year. It's my year.
Do it. Yeah.
I'm going to do it. Well, running a marathon.
But I don't like the treadmill. I like to run outside. It's fresh air for me. And I can't do it on the treadmill. So when you set a year goal and if you're not willing to run in all weather types, you're not going to get it done.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why I didn't end up setting a year goal this year because I sometimes become a slave to it and I'll be out there when maybe I shouldn't be because I'm trying to get my miles in and you start to overthink things.
Did you hit your year goal last year?
I did.
What was your mile?
My goal was 725, but then I ended up getting 730, which is not...
You're
honestly,
amazing.
It sounds like a lot, but that's not a lot compared to a lot of people. Like, there are people out there that get over 1,000. I just read an article of a guy that he went to UCM in Warrensburg, and he had over 100,000 miles in his lifetime.
What?
And if you think about calculating that out, that is a lot of miles a year. I don't know how people do it. It's there are runners out there that run a lot. Like, I am nothing compared to any of that. So I'm not here talking about, look at me, I do this. I enjoy it. That's
you're
all.
I never look at your posts, your mileage talk, nothing, and think it's like bragging. Like, that doesn't even cross my mind. It's inspiring to me. I'm like, okay, well, if you can run that many miles in a year, surely I can run 3 miles by May. You know what I mean? You're amazing. Never boastful, never bragging. Keep talking, keep empowering others. You don't know who you're inspiring. You don't know who's watching. I've had so many people reach out to me and they're like, would it be weird if I talked to Laura about running? And I'm like, you message her and see if that's weird or not. Like, it's up to her. But people don't look at you, from my perception, as bragging or like you're showing off or anything like that. So don't ever think that. It's always inspiring. And you do it so gracefully and tastefully. Keep doing you, girl.
Well, to add to that, I did have somebody ask me about how I trained. And I'm probably the worst person to ask on that because I really don't have any idea what I'm doing. And I think
I love it. Just fake it till you make it, baby.
It's true. I think just do you. Listen to your body. Push yourself. But the macro side, too, you want to make sure you're fueling your body and you have to give yourself rest days. And
yes, my biggest thing is with my members. And it's like, yes, thank you for considering and taking macros into account. And they tell me and I have to, okay, don't change or increase your running days without telling me because we have to increase your macros. And so my runners who are in JGFG and they're maybe doing a running in my workout training split, like some days are doing this, or I help them figure out what days to do and which days for their long run, etc. And I would say in the last 2 years, I've become very well-versed in running with helping my members on cycling, running, training, and macros. So if you're a runner, if you're like, okay, I'm not feeling myself, you're feeling like maybe you're not seeing results or whatever it is on the running side or the training side or getting your muscles to look or body fat to drop, message me. It all goes in the food. It all comes back to how you're feeling your body. So what is something that brings you most joy in your day?
Oh, my morning workout, of course. That's the first thing I do. I get up, I do my workout, and that starts my day, and I don't feel complete unless I have that. I've also started to been reading the Bible through in this year, and so I've actually been getting up 30 minutes earlier to get that in instead of putting it at the end of the day, which I never would prioritize. And so my morning routine is probably the best part of my day. I love getting up early and getting things going and working out. My husband joins me on our workouts and I love that too.
Is he a runner?
No.
No.
Just the lifting.
Yeah. No, I get that. I get it. So what time do you go to bed and what time do you wake up?
Oh, that's an embarrassing question.
I love it.
No, I'm in bed usually before 9 because I just can't hang.
Yeah.
But I'm getting up at 4:30. I know there's people that get up earlier. I'm just saying. So, like I said, I'll do my Bible reading and then I'll work out and I'm out the door at 7 and
that's awesome.
I get home maybe at 6.
Yeah.
And we have our bedtime routine. And
you have two cute, sweet kiddos. And I love hearing this part. Your kids have always seen you doing some sort of activity. So they just know, like, mom and dad working out, that's normal. And do you love that? Because then it's going to instill, like, a lifestyle for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they see it and they know that that should be a normal part of a healthy lifestyle. And they are really active kids and they do like to join us sometimes and they like to show off their muscles.
Yeah.
And I love instilling that sense of empowerment in them. And I think that's like the best time to do it because it creates lifelong.
Yeah. They don't know anything other than this is healthy and makes us strong. It's not we're exercising because we ate something bad or we overate. Yeah. It's never that. It is my mom works out with weights. Like my mom has muscles. And that is the goal, is to make that normal. Let's make it normal.
Yeah, my daughter came home the other day and she made a funny comment about how her belly was fat. And I questioned her why she said that. And of course, it was something somebody had said at school. And it really got me. If you don't show kids now how strong they can be and instill like good behaviors in them and self and body image, positive body image, how quickly that can.
And how old is she?
She's 7.
Wow.
7.
That's
and she's not. I mean, like, no. They're that age. They still have like toddler
right.
bodies.
They just you know? Have their little bellies that yeah. are, like stick out because yeah. that's their little belly. It makes you like so frustrated, but also like, okay, let's make it a learning moment of, mm-hmm. nope, you are strong and powerful. And we've gone through similar stuff of Addie at 8. Like, I have bags under my eyes is what she came home the other day and said. And I was like, excuse? She's like, yeah, I feel like I have bags under my eyes. Who told you that? She heard it from an adult at her school talking about, oh my gosh, I've got these big bags under my eyes. These children are listening, no matter who and what you're saying. And then it makes them look in the mirror and think, well, do I have bags under my eyes? At 8 years old. And I'm like, girl, you do not have bags under your eyes. But let's talk about bags under your eyes. Did you sleep right? Did you get enough hours of sleep last night? Are you hydrated? Are you feeling your body properly? Those are all the things of why maybe that teacher had bags under her eyes and said that. And so Addie goes, she's a mini me. She goes to school the next day and she's like, I told so-and-so, are you eating right? Are you sleeping? Are you feeling your body? Do you work out? And so I'm like, yes. But again, if you have a very almost passive child who can, they're sponges, they'll absorb anything. So just make sure you're speaking kindly to yourself because they're always listening. They're always listening. What is an aha moment? I love hearing these, my favorite testimonies. What's an aha moment you've had since being on your JGFG journey?
The one that comes to mind first would be, I don't know, like everybody has their own muscle group that they tend to grow yeah. really well. And my back has been one that I've grown really well. I feel like I think that's just where I hold a lot of strength and I'm kind of broader in the shoulder area. And I used to think that I was just bigger up here. And I think I had made a post about that, that I had been trying on a dress mm-hmm. for an antique fashion show thing for the town. And my grandma said, I should have had you go on a diet before putting this dress on. And it was because it wouldn't zip up because my rib cage or my upper body is built differently. And when I started to see my back muscles grow, that was the aha moment that I'm not big boned in my chest. It's not that I need to lose weight in this area. This is how I'm built. And yeah. I'm proud of that.
Yes.
Like, and now it's like my best feature. And
now
my
it's back a proud. Like you're like, okay, man. Now you can like, wow, this is where I'm strong. And you probably lift heavier on back day mm-hmm. and your back flex and your delts are really, really great. But you also have really amazing quads. Like, you're just very well-versed.
Well,
you're very
you're really
great.
Sweet. I always feel like quads are not good for me.
Oh, girl.
I want to build
Isn't
quads.
Isn't it funny how everyone can see something different? And mm-hmm. If my goal with GGFG is that everyone can see and view and love themselves the way other people see and view
Isn't
them.
Isn't that so true, though? Like, if you could see yourself the way yeah. others do, how much better we would feel about ourselves.
Yes. And yeah. What is one of your favorite things about the Sweaty Sisterhood?
The accountability and the support, of course, and even friendship. You know, going back to the marathon, I had so much support behind that and that I never dreamed of having. I had more support from that than anybody. And anybody even like my family.
You yeah.
know? Like
yeah.
I had sweaty sisters show up for the race. I had them sending me so many prayers and sweet messages, and you can't put a price on that. That
no.
is that, and that is genuine, and that is that just makes you feel like you are invincible. Like
yeah.
when you have a support system behind you like that, it is really great. And so, the sweaty sisterhood is indescribable.
Amen to that. Amen. To kind of wrap it up, what's one question that you have for me?
My question for you would be, does it ever get tiresome being almost like a celebrity status? Like being in your town, like can you go anywhere and not be recognized?
Yeah, I think so in Columbia for sure. In Sedalia, some people, but usually, and I love it. I'm not at a point where I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go again. Like I'm never that. But in Columbia, yeah, sometimes I could go weeks without anyone recognizing me or at least calling me out and saying, hey, but no, I don't get tired of it. My kids love it. And Reed just thinks if you work out, you're in my mommy's workout group. Like he doesn't know if you have muscles. Oh, you do my mommy's workout. And so he is still under that. Addie is in this transition of not really thinking I'm very cool anymore. Like, she's like, oh, let me. She used to want to be in the picture whenever I would take a picture with the sweaty sister out or something. She would always want to be in it. Now she's like, here, I'll take the picture of you. She's kind of over me. But at school, she actually just came and told me. She's like, Mom, five teachers told me they started your workouts. And I was really proud of them. And I told them, you better not miss because now I'm going to ask you. And so she's really funny. And I love that. You know, I started JGFG when Reed was 6 months old. It's all they know. Mm-hmm. Addie was two. Is all that they know is JGFG and what it is. And so it's funny, people, my kids will watch some YouTube families and think that they're celebrities, you know, like I can't even think of any names off the top of my head, but some of them that they'll watch, they're like, oh my gosh, are these real people? And I'm like, yes, they're real people. And so it's funny to play that in like return whenever members will come up to me and they give me that approach. So I treat it as, how would I feel if I, and I am nowhere to this caliber, but how would I feel if I met like Post Malone? Like I would feel like, oh my gosh. And it's more of like the, his music has helped me on some hard days. It's inspired me. It's motivated me. It's all of these things for me. And that's what people say that I am for them. So for me, it's not that he's famous or he's any of these. It's just like what he holds for me. And I feel like that I've finally realized what the connection is and why I'm like, oh, I love Posty because of these reasons, not for who, like, you know, and that's kind of this similar connection. I'm there for people during on their best day or their worst day. And so it's honestly cool. We're going on year number 6 and I'm not tired of it. And it's still, if you see me out and about, please stop me. Mm-hmm. Please say hi. I don't care if I'm with all of my family or just me and Johnny or my kids, whatever. I love it. Makes my day whenever you stop and say hi.
Well, you are just a normal person.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you nervous to come work out with me for the first time?
Yeah, I think so. I think I was worried about, or not worried, but like nervous about like, oh, I hope Jen doesn't think I'm doing the wrong form or, you know, yeah, like that kind of, you know, self-consciousness.
Was it easier this time?
Oh, yeah. It was really comfortable. You make it easy. You make it comfortable. It's fun.
Thank you. Give a piece of advice, your best advice for the whole journey, coming to work out with me, whatever it is, to wrap this up for the Sweaty Sisters.
I'll just do a spinoff of from my first workout. Mindset is everything. Like it truly is. If you put your mind to it, if you say, I'm going to do this workout every day and you press play every day, you are going to do it. You have to set your mind on something and you can achieve anything.
I love that. Thank you for being here with me. We love you. You're strong.
You're powerful.
You're worthy. Bye. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Mind to Muscle. If you'd like to tune into future episodes, don't forget to follow me on your preferred listening platform. And if you enjoyed today's episode, make sure and leave a review. I really appreciate those. Don't forget, you are strong, you are powerful, you are worthy, and you can do hard things. I love you guys. Bye.